Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This Memorial Day weekend, I'm skipping phony sales and shopping at Bob's Discount Furniture, where I don't have to worry about missing out on great savings. Because no matter what, when I shop, Bob's has trending styles at everyday low prices, ready to ship fast. Like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob sectional with over 1,700 five-star reviews. So make the most of your summer and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This is WTIC Pet Talk. Today, Dr. Andrea Dennis from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital takes your pet health questions. Whether you have a dog, cat, or hamster, this is a show for you and your best friend. Call in now at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. And now, Pet Talk.
And welcome to this gorgeous, gorgeous day in the middle of May. Oh, I didn't mean for that to rhyme, because I am not a poet in any way. Thank you for joining me today. I am Dr. Andrea Dennis, and we're here to discuss your pets. This is the veterinary show on Pet Talk, where we not only do we discuss some of your diseases that you're dealing with your pets. You know, I really concentrate a lot on prevention, but this is a show for you. It's a show where you can call, ask your questions. Sometimes it's a matter of just kind of second guessing yourself. Are you doing things the right way? Because you are your pet's best advocate. And is it time to get a second opinion? All those things I'm happy to discuss. I will let you know what I think could be going on, but because I am not actually touching your pet, you know, looking at your pet, I won't give you an actual diagnosis, but I will arm you with the right questions to ask your veterinarian or a veterinarian, as well as making sure that you follow through and why certain things are important. But I know we're getting some calls in, and I want to make sure that we do this appropriately and fairly, because I know we haven't been in the studio for a couple of weeks, but I'm here now, and we will get to those calls as soon as we can possibly get them all lined up. So with this thing, well, I was going to talk about, you know, the copperheads, because there's been some reported sightings. And I have dealt personally with some snakes, bites. I hate them. Okay, let's kind of get that clear. I hate them in terms, I know that they're good, I know their value, but I just involuntarily shiver. I have a hard time. I don't treat snakes because of that, but I do understand their importance. I've had certain incidences where I have had some of my patients come head to head with a copperhead. And we have two venomous snakes that do exist in Connecticut. One is the endangered timber rattlesnake, and then the other is the copperhead. And it's attacks by copperheads are rare, but I do want to be able to talk to you about the fact that where they're mainly located, we tend to see them, know that they exist like in the ridges, located in the western side of the Connecticut River, in Hartford, Middlesex, and New Haven counties. You know, copperheads are mostly absent from that far northeastern and northwestern portions of the state, and less common east of the river. But what does a copperhead look like? How do you know that indeed this is one of the two venomous snakes that we have in Connecticut? It tends to have a two-tone copper-colored body. That body tends to be very stocky. They do have coppery eyes with very vertical pupils, so that means it goes up and down, a triangular head. Now, they generally stay in low-lying areas, and they're predominantly found in wooded areas or along the edges of the meadows. And again, they are not looking to attack. They tend to be they're fearful of humans. The issue with what I want to talk about is the fact that if you take your dog on a walk and they're off leash, dogs don't necessarily get that message, you know, because you want to stay on a path. You really don't want them to put their noses, go into those woody areas under leaves if possible, because sometimes that's where a copperhead can be. And they are very active from April through October. So we're right in the middle of their activity season. They're starting to look for mates. And part of the thing, the reason why I feel so adamant about that, even though an encounter with them is rare, the fact that we have seen sightings. Several years ago, I had a patient that came in. They were taking a walk. The dog was off leash at the Farmington Reservoir. And because of that, the dog was bit right over the eye. It was a very small dog. And that small dog was a Shetland sheepdog. Unfortunately, that patient did not make it. It was something that the small size, the amount of venom that this copperhead actually injected into the small patient, it just didn't allow for survival. And we've actually found some antitoxin for the copperhead, but again, it was just too late. And the reason why I know that it was a copperhead was because the owner was smart enough, aware enough, that she took a picture of it. So it does happen, but try to keep your dogs on a leash. I know you want to let them have that freedom, but there's some things that are out of your control. And again, this is not something that a copperhead necessarily wants to do. And that's why as hikers and climbers, we should be staying on the path. Stay with these open paths versus going in into the woods. Again, they try to avoid you and your pets. They do. So let's try to not put them in that situation where they just can't win. So with that, I just want to give you that alert. And again, speaking from personal experience, George, I'm going to bring you up, but it sounds like you're going through some tough times right now, George. Thank you for calling. Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Dennis. Yeah, we've talked about my dog a couple of times online, and then you did make a personal call to me.
Yes, yes.
About her, and about a week ago, she was laying on bed, and she got up and she had a major seizure, and she was on her back doing the doggy paddle, and then I went to pick her up and she screamed.
Oh, no.
So I take her to the emergency room, and they do a echo of her belly, and they've had a gigantic mass on her liver. Now, she's had high liver numbers for a while.
Right, right. Oh, I remember.
But she couldn't even, after she had that stroke, her back hind leg, she wouldn't even put no pressure. I just put her down on Thursday.
Oh, George, I am so sorry.
And I'm not sure it was the right decision because she still seems sort of active. So I'm myself right now because I probably murdered my dog and she probably could have been around a little bit longer and now I'm just empty.
No, you know what, George, I remember every phone call. I remember the ones we've done on the air. I remember the phone call that we had, and there was just a multitude from her heart, from this growth again that was going on with her. And I felt like you went above and beyond trying to get answers, trying to make her better, trying to improve her quality of life. And because euthanasia is a legal act that we can do with our pets, that we're allowed to make that decision, that's why you tend to feel guilty and you tend to feel this incredible pain. But I can't bring her back, but I do not want you to feel guilty. You made the right decision so that she does not suffer, so that she just doesn't exist. You have so much proof from all the tests that you did that she was tired. Her body was tired. And then you have to ask yourself, am I making this decision for me or am I making it for her? So that's
right.
Okay. So don't use the word like murder or killed. It was an act of love. It was an act of euthanasia. That's what it was, George. I can't, again, take that sorrow away from you, but I do not want you to feel the guilt. There's no reason for that.
You know, she couldn't breathe, and it was a hot weather coming.
Yes.
She'd be really bad. And then when I would give her diuretic, she would act like she was in a coma.
Yeah. You know,
so I try to see if there was any kind of medicine other than the Fluoratine that she was taking. But my doctor says, no, she has to be on that. So anytime I would give her that pill, she would act totally different, like she was dead.
She was because she had a multitude of organs. It wasn't just her heart. There was also her liver. There was other things going on. And I've always felt that when my patients come in and they cannot breathe and I cannot get them to a point where they are breathing comfortably. I mean, breathing, you shouldn't have to think about breathing. Breathing is something that should be very passive. And I can't imagine what drowning is like because of that. So,
right.
George, I just want you to know you have my heart, you have my sorrow, but I'm not going to allow you to feel guilty, George, okay?
All right. I appreciate talking to you.
Always. And you know our listening audience, they've been there, many of them, and you know you have their compassion. All right. Thank you, George.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now. I am so sorry. That's so horrible. Okay. I do have to take a break, but then we'll come right back. And I know I've got some more phone calls lined up, and we will get to those calls. We'll be back with more Veterinary Pet Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Only at True North Stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This Memorial Day weekend, I'm skipping Phony Sales and shopping at Bob's Discount Furniture, where I don't have to worry about missing out on great savings. Because no matter what, when I shop, Bob's has trending styles at everyday low prices, ready to ship fast, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional with over 1,700 five-star reviews. So make the most of your summer and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Welcome back. We started our show talking about the appearance and people's sightings of copperheads. This is the veterinary edition of Pet Talk. I'm Dr. Andrea Dennis. And then we had a phone call from George that kind of shifted the tone quite a bit. And I understand Bob has joined us as well. And I know we still have Joe. We'll get to you shortly. But Bob, thank you for joining us here on Pet Talk.
Oh, no problem. I listen to you every weekend. Euthanizing your animals is hard, but I'm 65 now. When I was 18, 17 years old, me and my girlfriend, the newspaper was a dog, giving away a dog. We named her Jessica because didn't get along with the baby. They had a little baby. So this dog grew up with me from 17, 18 and through the high school years, and you break up with a girlfriend, but you know, that dog was always with me all the time.
Yeah. Yes.
And she had to get her leg cut off because she ran from home and she got
amputation.
Yeah. You know, the vet called up, said either cut it off or have her put to sleep. You know, you go and look at the dog, you know, like 4 years old, just had babies, puppies, I guess. Anyhow, we cut the leg off, and that dog lived for another 12 years. And then 15 years old, walking around on the one paw, we had to put, and I couldn't put it to sleep. I had to ask my stepdad to do it.
Right.
And it's hard. I got a picture of her on my workbench, 8x11, and it shows her in the snow, and she had four paws.
Yeah.
And we named her Jessica, you know, after the Almros. And now, 35 years later, every time I hear that song, I go, Jessica Pop.
Yes.
And I think that dog. So, you know,
the memories.
The way an animal is hard, but there are a lot more good memories.
There is wonderful memories. You know, I think in George's situation, he's just been through, like, you know, you with the amputation when you have, you know, there was a lot of illness and things that he was constantly working, you know, to try to make her feel better, you know, in the end when there wasn't something that we could actually cure. When you have a chronic illness like that, it's very draining, and you forget, you know, how young they were at one point. You forget what those pictures look like when they were running around the backyard. So, you know, George, like you said, George is just, there's amazing memories, and those memories, no one can take those away from any of us, but you got to go through that pain, and you got to go through that mourning, but not
and
guilt,
I,
but
I,
don't
I, like. Like I said, I couldn't do it. I asked my stepdad to do it, and he had no problem.
Yeah.
And he brought him back from the vet, and we buried him in the backyard in Middleburg. You know?
Yeah.
It's hard, but...
It is. Well, thank you so much for sharing. And we're sending those thoughts to George and everyone else that has, you know, lost
a
pet.
And actually, I'm a cat person, too. One of my five cats is sleeping in the bed right behind me in my basement over by the wall, and she's been there. So she's my new Jessica.
Bob,
all right,
thank you for sharing.
All the time.
Thank
all
you.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Yeah, that's... He said it. It's the memories, and I know if I bring Joe in as well. Joe's had some memories too. Joe, it's been a bit. How are you, Joe?
Not bad. How are you, Doctor?
Doing okay. Thanks for asking.
Well, I just add to George's. You know, how would he felt if he wasn't home and that dog had a seizure down the road?
Yes, you're right.
And you know, it could be suffering and everything. It's tough and everything, but you know, it's. And I had a dog that was having seizures. My first dog is an adult. And one time I wasn't home, and I came home, he was collapsed and everything. It's not fun.
No, it isn't. And he's been very devoted to her. So, as most of us are with our pets. And that's why, again, it makes me, that's why I'm here on Saturday, so that we can kind of share, we can kind of help. And, and you're always good helping to sum up some of the things that we've talked about. So thank you.
I have a question. I got to take my dog in for his annual physical Tuesday.
Okay.
Now, it just so happens, you know, I get him the Lyme disease vaccination. I get him kennel cough. And I get him, what's the one when they go in the water?
Lepto.
Mm-hmm. Now, his rabies shot is not going to be due in September or so.
Okay.
I'm just wondering what you're feeling on getting multi-vaccinations in one day.
Well, the Bordetella, that one, I tend to do that intranasally where we go in the nose.
Right.
That immune response is all local. It's all in the nasal respiratory system.
Right.
You have larger dogs, right? You have dogs that are like over 50 pounds.
Yeah, he's 60 pounds. Well,
yes. So I'm very comfortable doing the Lyme, lepto, and the rabies virus, lepto being leptospirosis.
Right.
It's more those smaller dogs that I tend to want to space out the vaccines if the owner has the time, if the owner's willing to bring them back. But I'm very comfortable. Now, your rabies shot, then, if you get it next week, it's going to be good for 3 years, so you don't have to worry about that next year.
Right.
So I do have a comfort level. I would express if you all have any discomfort, I would express that to your veterinarian and then kind of take it from there. But yeah, a 60-pound dog, I give them all at the same time.
Only thing I worry about is if he had a reaction, they might not know which
right.
vaccine caused it.
You're exactly right on that. And dogs that have had reactions in the past, and they're very rare. I do want everyone that's listening to know that the reactions from vaccines are very rare. You're right. You don't know. So if I have a dog that has gotten 3 vaccines, went home, just a bit lethargic or maybe a little bit of swelling or even maybe have thrown up their meal, we would consider that a reaction. So the following year, I would probably separate them out. But and that's, you're right, you don't know ahead of time. And every single vaccine reaction, you report to the manufacturer. So when that happens, because I don't always use the same manufacturer for every vaccine, so I may be contacting 2 different manufacturers.
Okay.
So, I want you to do what you're comfortable with. And again, I would have that conversation, but my comfort level is there. And again, it has been so rare that we've had any vaccine reactions. Lyme has become more pure. It's really made better than it was, 18 years ago, 15 years ago. And the leptospirosis, that for small dogs, that's the one that's also improved over the years. But that's the one that I will sometimes see more reactions on little dogs than any of the other vaccines is the lepto.
How about the rabies?
It's rare with the rabies.
Okay.
It really is.
Another quick thing.
Yeah.
You mentioned about 3 weeks ago that you went to a conference and you were talking to the cardiologist.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned that food. I tried finding myself. I can't find it on the internet. Do they know, is it the lack of grains that might be causing the heart problems or what they're substituting the grains with?
Right. They still don't know. But I would say the cardiologist was saying that it is not it's not a closed book, that they're still seeing it. They're still suspecting it. But and what we're talking about, again, for people to catch up, is this push for no grain foods for dogs. And what we're seeing with this no grain, some of the dogs that are eating this no grain food, we're seeing heart disease in breeds we normally didn't see it in. So that's the question. Is it because there's lack of grains, or is it because what they're using to substitute the grains, the legumes, what is it specifically? So they're still working on that. So that's why my stance is, I'm not a fan of grain-free foods at this point.
Once it started coming out, I switched them back.
Good, Joe.
And you know the crazy thing about a doctor is, I don't have to tell you, most of the allergies were caused probably by chicken, a protein source, right?
Exactly.
Then they started going nuts on the grains, like with the grains and everything.
You and I both agree. Hey, I've got to go from news now, and they give me a hard stop.
Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. I learn a lot. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you. Appreciate.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Yeah, so we're going to take that break. Bob Brown's here, and then we'll come back with more Pet Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080. Yes, sirree. It is that time of year. I did a little segment on Great Day on Channel 3, WFSB, the other day. And my topic was talking about ticks then. And this is that time of year when they're out, and we talked about why it's so important to check your pet every day. Check yourself when you're coming in. Try to avoid woodsy areas. Stay on a path. Part the hair in the opposite direction. And also, which is critically important, I like using a preventative to prevent ticks from attaching so that they don't transmit those horrible diseases that we've talked many times on the air here on Pet Talk, like Lyme disease, anaplasmosis, ehrlichiosis. There's just a ton of different diseases that those little stinkers do transmit. So if you have a preventative, if you work with your veterinarian on making sure that they're protected, choose what's right for you, because you can use topicals, you can use orals, you can use a collar. You have your options, but let's not ignore that. I'm Dr. Andrea Dennis, and it's my pleasure to host the veterinary edition here of Pet Talk. I think as we're going into the summer months, there is a regular schedule that I will be alternating with Lori Fass, who will answer your training questions, but I will be here quite regularly, and I always invite you to call. So if you have a question, if you have a comment, call me at 860-522-9842 or 522-WTIC. That's what we're here for. There is no question that I consider not important because, again, we learn by asking. And I've always felt that that was very important. And I know that people like to use the internet. Anything that we talk about on the air, I can guarantee you is factual. Anything I've said, I have researched, triple checked myself. Sometimes when you go on the internet, there's some things that are true, but some of them are half true. Some of them are not always completely what you want to. You're not getting the full story. So please don't take that as absolute fact. Use your mind, and artificial intelligence. You know, you can type in something and you'll get two different opinions on artificial intelligence. I really believe you need to have a relationship with your veterinarian. Your veterinarian needs to touch your pet, talk with you. There are some things I can see in your pet's eyes that I would never be able to see virtually. I would never be able to see if you just sent me a picture. So try to maintain that important relationship. So I'm going to open up those phone lines, and at the same time, you'll talk to Kevin Corza, who will get you in the queue. And I always want to thank Kevin. You know, we had a tough first half of the show. It was very emotional, and Kevin understands what everyone was talking about, what George, Bob, Joe were talking about. And so again, Kevin, I thank you for hanging in there. Because we still got another half of the show to do. We've got 20 minutes. So give us a call. I will talk about anything. I also tend to bring what you're hearing in the news and what you really need to worry about and not worry about. There's no reason why we have to handle more things than we have to. And one of the things is that I am getting questions now is, can my pet get the hantavirus? That's that virus that they were talking about with the cruise ship, and they had three people that did succumb to it. You know, the quarantine, it's different types. Again, this is definitely something that people are getting, not the truth and not the factual information online. So with these recent illnesses and deaths at impossible hanta exposure, they've left, you know, some of my pet owners have been concerned. While cats and dogs can be infected with hantavirus, they generally don't have symptoms, and they're very, very highly unlikely to infect their owners. So again, there's no actual test that we as veterinarians can do. So if your dog or cat is showing some respiratory issues, that I don't want you to think about hantavirus as the first thing. But if they do bring in wild rodents into the home, they could theoretically increase your exposure. So we are learning about the rodents. No one's, I don't think, necessarily love having rodents in their home undetected or even detected. But if you're, again, if your pet brings something in there into your home, you really should remove it from your home. And I would wear a mask and gloves while doing that and make sure you wash your hands very, very, very thoroughly. Because of that, if you think about the rodents, it can spread from their urine, their droppings, their saliva, and it's considered a rare event, but I do want to make sure that you know what to look for, and it's all about making sure that we avoid interaction with those rodents. The other virus that people are asking me about still is this avian influenza. And the CDC confirms that they has confirmed. Now, it took them about a year to figure this out, but they have confirmed that there has been cat to human transmission of this avian influenza. We've heard about birds. We've heard about, remember when the cost of eggs was outrageous? That at the time when we had so many of our flocks, our our egg-producing hens that were getting this avian influenza, they were getting this flu, and so many of them had to be culled. So again, we were that still exists. It's still happening, but not at the high intensity that it was. But so what we have found out through this investigation, that there is this zoonotic, what we mean, zoonotic means when we have cat to human transmission, that it's mainly seen, and when this does happen, it's pet owners are giving raw animal products to their cats. That's where the problem is. Remember, we even had dairy cattle that had succumbed to this highly pathogenic avian influenza. They were showing diseases. Many of them did not die, but we also saw that the transmission of the virus was in the milk of these cows. But pasteurization, which is the process that we use to make sure our milk is germ-free, that you do not detect any of the virus when it's pasteurized. But for people that still want to give raw products to their pets, this is another reason why you should think twice about it. Because we do know that this transmission to humans really occurred with veterinarians that were taking care of these cats that did have avian influenza. So they were taking care of them. That's how it transmitted. And these cats, all of them, contracted the disease through drinking raw milk in particular. So let's keep this in mind. I think for my community of veterinarians, when we have a cat with respiratory illnesses, right now we have to, and especially if somebody says, I have, you know, hens in my backyard, I have birds, then we need to be more careful ourselves. And you at home, if you see any respiratory symptoms in your cat, and I will wear a mask, I will wear gloves specifically, and again, not rub my eyes, things of that sort. So, but that's for my community. But for you all, just be careful with raw products. I think that's my message at this point. I am watching this whole avian influenza disease process as it's kind of penetrated throughout the United States. Yes, it is a worldwide disease. And I just feel that it's necessary to watch it very carefully, especially since we're seeing that cats indeed do contract this disease as well. All right, I'm going to take this quick break, and then we're going to come back with just another 15 minutes or so with Pet Talk on WTIC.
Only at True North Stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I always know when a big holiday shopping weekend is coming because there are sales everywhere telling me to shop now or miss out. But when I shop at Bob's Discount Furniture, I never have to miss out because Bob's has the latest summer styles at everyday low prices. Plus, Bob's has tons of real 5-star reviews for me to rely on, which is how I found a real marble elm dining set with over 600 5-star reviews, the Copper Radiance mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you 5-star sleep, the ultra comfy Phantom reclining sofa, which boasts over 1,000 5-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 5-star reviews. So when you're ready to skip the holiday weekend gimmicks and score 5-star style for every room in your home, listen to the smartest shoppers around and shop at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 now and begin your language learning journey.
Welcome back. You're listening to the veterinary edition of Pet Talk. I'm Dr. Andrea Dennis, and we have about 10 minutes left to the show. I could probably take a quick call if you give me and dial in at 860-522-WTIC or 860-522-9842. We've talked about a diverse range of things from influenza virus, avian flu. We've talked about the loss and what it means and making the difficult decision of euthanasia. And I just wanted to bring back a little bit. Going back, we talked about snakes, the two venomous snakes that we do have here in Connecticut, one being the rattlesnake, the other is the copperhead. And one of the things that, and this goes back to my story that I was sharing earlier about a patient of mine that did succumb to the copperhead toxin and very small animal. Because again, I think that if it was a 100-pound dog, it may have survived, but it also depends on the amount of venom versus the size of the patients. So just some interesting facts, you know, that they are pit vipers. They do have a cavity on either side of their head. It's located between the nostrils and the eyes, and that's what contains a pit organ. And those organs are what allows snakes to seek out their warmer prey. And that's one of the reasons why copperheads they'll do a lot of this during nighttime so that they can get the little critters that they need to eat. But they also have large hollow fangs at the front of their mouth, and those are connected to the bones of the upper jaw and the palate. So they are folded against the roof of the mouth when the mouth is closed and automatically brought forward when the mouth is open. And these fangs are what injects the venom into the prey. The venom, obviously, is the thing that obviously kills the prey, kills the dog. And with going back to my story, my patient was bit on a Thursday. And then I heard a story that someone at one of the local hospitals, really not very far away from where I was working, they had a patient that came in on Saturday morning. And that patient knew that it was bit by a copperhead, didn't go to the hospital, you know, but they were observant enough. They knew the type of snake. But then that was on Friday. So my patient got bit on Thursday. Friday was the human. By Saturday morning, his hand swelled. He went to the hospital and he said he was bit by a copperhead. People were kind of amazed that he was doing as well as he was, other than the local pain and the local swelling. And my theory was that this very well could have been the same copperhead. Now, he actually picked up this snake. That's how he got bit. But because they have to replenish the venom that they, once they do release it, I think that the human, plus being larger, did not get the full amount of venom versus my patient with the on the day before that was smaller and probably the first one that had been actually attacked. And again, the dog did go off, you know, into the woods, you know, wasn't staying on the main path. So again, that's what happened. So those are my copperhead stories. Again, rare, but be aware. And okay, I've still got a few minutes. So I just want to make sure you realize that this is also a month. You know how we tend to recognize certain items, certain people based on the month or the week that it is. But this is the month where we are promoting to have microchips and their benefit. Microchips being these little, they're really tiny, almost the size of a grain of rice that you can inject into your pet underneath the skin. It stays pretty much lifelong. It might move a little bit from where it was injected, but it does maintain and stay underneath the skin. And it comes with a number, and that number you register, and that with that you'll be able to be reconnected with your pet. And there was recently a story that appeared about a Chicago family that really was 2.5 years ago, their pet went missing. And they considered that this was a miracle. The dog had gotten loose from the backyard and never to be found. But this time, it was actually the dog last week was picked up by, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Kankakee Animal Control outside of Chicago. And they picked up this dog who was badly injured, had a lot of mouth injury. So it was not in good shape. It needs treatment. But because this dog had a microchip, they were able to contact the owners, the original owners, and reconnect them. These people were so thrilled. They feel like it's a miracle. They have another chance to make sure that everything is, back in order. They just have, financially, it's going to take, they still don't know what happened to this dog in terms of what's going on with its mouth. But it's a lesson why we can be one time, put that microchip in. A lot of times we will recommend embedding the microchip into them at the same time that they're spayed or neutered. Or if you're going to do that later in life, I usually just use a little local little lidocaine or Novocaine like you do in the dentist and inject, put that in first and then go ahead and embed that in. And the dogs and cats tend to handle it very, very well. The thing that a microchip is not, it's not a tracking device. And people tend to confuse that. They feel like what when you have this microchip in there, you can see where your dog or your cat or any of your other pets are. And that's not what it is. That's something else that you would have to purchase or use. I use those little Apple it just escapes my name, but it's like a little, it's from Apple and you can put it on the tag of your dog. The AirTag, that's it, exactly, the Apple AirTag. And you can put that on your collar and those tend to work that where you can actually see where indeed your pet is. With that, we want to just kind of make sure we differentiate. But, you know, sometimes an AirTag or a collar can fall off, whereas with the microchip, that does not happen. It's underneath the skin. It's there permanently. So you are really, free to make sure that everything is going, everything will go safely. And the people that can pick up where the microchip is, every animal control officer, every veterinary hospital has a reader. They're called universal readers. They read all the different microchips. And when we have a new pet come in, we what they call scan it. It's very easy. You just hold this reader right over their back, over their body, and you can find whether there's a chip or not a chip. So it's not like, okay, I'm going to do the microchip and nobody's going to ever check. We all check. All these, and again, this is what happened in Chicago. This dog was turned in 2.5 years later, and it must have been found on the side of the road because it was so badly injured, brought in, and that's how they reconnected. So please talk to your veterinarian about doing that. And just with a few minutes left, I just want to remind you, I was looking at the weather this morning, and the pollens are crazy. Pollens are super high, and people will tend to find out that what they're allergic to certain times of the year, but they also tend to find out what their pets are allergic to as well. And some of the symptoms that I want you all to be able to be aware of with dogs and cats when they do have allergies is they tend to be itchy. Itchy everywhere. Their ears, their head, the sides of their body. And they also get very itchy in their paws. Dogs in particular with the paws. If your dog is licking their paws pretty constantly, not just what you're going to see when they come in from outside or again, you've got some of the after coming in from a rain, but most dogs, when they come in, they do a little bit of cleaning. Cats don't go out as much, but they're fastidious and they do cleaning as well. But if you have, especially I find when it's evening time, people are sitting there, they're reading, and they hear this constant licking of their dog's skin, their cat's skin. And in dogs in particular, and the canines licking of their paws, especially if you see them take their paws, turn it over to the underside, and really start to go to town there. That, to me, is a huge sign of whether they have allergies or not. I have had clients tell me that no, you know, when I see and I ask them questions about, because I can usually tell just by observing the paws based on the color of the fur, there's something what we call saliva stain. If the dog is white or light beige, you can always tell if they've been licking their paws excessively because you can see this rust color. The fur is now a rust color. That's a classic sign that they've been licking and that's saliva staining that fur. And they'll say, no, they're just bored and they're licking at night just because they're bored or they like to chew on their nails. Those are some of the comments that I will get back. I have to prove to those individuals that this is indeed a sign of allergies. And the reason why this is important is that we cannot cure allergies, but we can control them. And they can lead to other problems of the skin. They can make you can imagine if your feet were itchy and you wanted to scratch them all the time. That's not comfortable. So because we have some easy fixes to control it. And I don't mean fix in terms of cure, but it is a matter of control. So today, you know, I saw that the maple pollen is super, super high. I mean, it's like at its highest level. So one of the things I want you guys to wipe your dog's paws when they come in or your cat's paws, just take a wet cloth, wet them down. At least that'll be a bit of a help. And if it's excessive, please discuss it with your veterinarian, okay? Hey, this is the end of our show. And thank you for joining. And we will see you next time.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best. Let's go! Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Ryotbac 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Ryotbac 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus rex. And Ryotbac 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!